Perek Lamed Zayin Pasek Chaf Aleph. Yesterday we concluded with the Tefillah of Chizkiyahu. Two-step Tefillah. First we had the Tefillah of Yeshaya, and then we have the Tefillah of Chizkiyahu, and now we are Pasek Chaf Aleph, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yeshaya, acknowledging that he has accepted the prayer of Chizkiyahu. Vayishlach Yeshayahu Ben Amotz El Chizkiyahu Leimor. He sent a message to Chizkiyahu saying, Koyam Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Hispalalto Elai, this that you have prayed to me, I have heard your prayer. In the Mitzudos he adds a few words, Ba'avur HaDavar. Many psukim in Nevi'im Achronim are written in the short form, where we have to pad the pasuk with additional words to bring out the simple meaning of the pasuk. And here is an example. The Mitzudos Tav, it says you have to add really two words into the pasuk. Asher hispalalta ba'avur hadavar asher hispalalta elai. Concerning the matter. So koyam Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Ba'avur hadavar, concerning the matter. Asher hispalalta elai. That you have prayed to me el sancheriv. El here is to be interpreted al, as if there's an ayin. Concerning sancheriv melech Ashur. What is my response? What is the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to your prayer? Zeh hadavar asher dibur Hashem elav. So Hashem has spoken concerning Olav, concerning Sancheiv. I have accepted your prayer. And therefore, this is what will happen in the future. There will come a point in time where Bozol Lucha. Now, Bozol means to disgrace. Lucha means you, Sancheiv. Who is the one that's going to bring disgrace upon Sancheiv? Klal Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael will say, Bozol Lucha, you are despised, Sancheiv. Lo Agol Lucha, you are, they will make mockery, Lag is mockery, Lucha concerning you. Who will make Bezionos and mockery, ridicule Sancheiv? Besula Spasion. So you have to read the pasuk backwards. Besula Spasion will say about Sancheiv, Bozol Lucha, you're a fool, you're a despicable person. Lo Agol Lucha, your words are nothing more than mockery. They will mock you. There will be mockery said concerning you, Sancheiv. Acharecha Rosh Henia, the Jewish people will wave their heads back and forth in disbelief. Like a person, if you hear a report that's shocking, you wave your head back and forth. Heinia bas Yerushalayim, they will wave their head back and forth, basically saying to Sancheiv, how dare you? Where does this chutzpah come from? Where does this arrogance come from that you can say such words that you will conquer Yerushalayim? It's nonsense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never let this happen. So here we have three different expressions of the response that Hashem is telling Chizkiyahu, that the Jewish people will respond to Sancheiv with three different expressions. They will be mevaze Sancheiv, they will mock Sancheiv, and they will wave their head back and forth in disbelief. Now there's an interesting point here. This is just a point where Rashi brings out this point over here, but it's all over Tanakh. Besula spas Tzion. Why here is Tzion called a Besula? And the answer is because at this point in time, we have this expression also used reference to other nations. I don't remember which nations, whether it was Modai or it was Ammon, Moab. There are different nations in the various prophets that we learned in the past describing the downfall of the nations at the different points in time of history. But here Rashi says in reference to Klal Yisrael, at this point in time, it never happened yet that Bnei Yisrael was conquered. Hashem brought Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. He gave them Yerushalayim, and they were living there in security. And it's hard for us to imagine such a thing. I mean, they were never conquered. So they're compared to a besula. Besula is a young woman who has not yet married. She never had the experience of having a man control her life. A woman that's married, to a certain degree, she's under the authority, the jurisdiction of her husband. So she's no longer called a besula. She's a beula. She's a married woman. She's an eshes ish. But a besula is a young girl. She has the freedom of no one can tell her what to do. So at this point in time, Tzion was independent. They have not yet been conquered. They never had that experience. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, in about 125 years from this event, then no longer would Tzion be called the Besula, because they felt the tsar of being conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, and then later by Edom, and we're in Golas today, we're still in Golas Edom, but at this point in time they are a Besula, and therefore they say to Asher, how dare you threaten us with words that you plan to conquer us, it's nonsense, it's not going to happen, and therefore they, B'nai Yisrael was Mevazah Sancheirav, they'll mock Sancheirav, and they will wave their head in disbelief. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Asmi Cherafta V'Gidafta, two expressions, upon whom, to whom, how dare you? Who did you curse? Blasphemy and curses, different expressions, Cherafta V'Gidafta, I'm not exactly sure the difference between the two, it basically means blasphemy. Upon who have you uttered these horrible expressions? The Almi, and upon whom? Harimosa called, have you lifted up your voice, you've raised your voice, Vatisa Marbeinecha, and raised up your eyes, to whom? El Kedosh Yisrael. You're raising up your eyes, you're raising your voice, you're saying things which are inappropriate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like all of these other nothing gods of the pagan nations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kedosh Yisrael. How dare you say such words? Pasuk of Dalit. Biyad avodecha, we explain some more. Biyad avodecha cherafta, Hashem, through your servants, you have sent Rav Shoke. You have sent Rav Shoke, your servants, to be mechareif Hashem. Vatoymen, you have said the following: Barov richli, with my abundance of my enormous number of my chariots, ani alisi, I will ascend Merom Harim, to the highest mountains. Yarkisei Levanon, to the end, the edge of the Levanon, which is the forest. And these are terms, metaphors referring to, I'm going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to conquer the Beis Hamikdash. Yarkisei Levanon, the Mitzudo says, refers to B'soif HaLevanon, Yar HaLevanon, B'akam HaRazim HaMikvayim. Okay, Merom Harim, he refers to, Mitzudo says, refers to the Har HaBayis. And Yarkisei Levanon, the Mitzvah just says, refers to the mighty forest. I think Rashi says Yarkisei Levanon refers to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so they basically say the same thing. These are metaphors that you, in your arrogance, have declared that you will ascend through your enormous army and military power to the Har HaBayis and conquer the Beis Hamikdash. And you've gone further to state the Echos, and I will cut down Komas Arozov, the mighty cedars. And the mighty cedars here again is a metaphor. See, here the Mitzudah seems to disagree with Rashi. The Mitzudah says the Rom Kitzo is, that's the end of the pasuk, that's the base. In this case, it's not exactly clear, but all these are different expressions. I'm not exactly sure what they were referred to. Merom Harim, Yarkisei Levanon, Piechos Komas Arozov, the exalted cedars, Mivchar Biroshav. Biroshav is a certain type of tree, it's something similar to a cedar tree. I'm not exactly sure what it is. We have this many times in Yeshaya. It's a very tall, powerful tree. Virosh. A certain type of tree. What?
Do you recognize this line from anywhere? Kros Komas Barosh
BK. Oh, okay. Mosor. Very interesting. Kros Komas Barosh. What's the expression? Kros Komas
Barosh BK.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, so we have to study the meaning. It's a very interesting point. The choice biroshav, certain type of trees, va'avoyim merom kitzo, to the edge. Kitzo means the edge, the exalted edge. Yar Carmelo, the forest of his orchard. Now, a forest, not an orchard. An orchard is not a forest, but this is some poetic expression which refers to the best of everything that there is in this world. Yerushalayim and the Har Bayis, the Beis Hamikdash, is the most exalted place in the world. It is the edge. It is the spitz. It's the apex of spiritual perfection in this world. And Sancheirav, in his great arrogance, declared that he will do nothing less than conquer this Mokoim with his military power. So again, there are a number of expressions. We count the expressions. Moram Harm is one, Yaksil Levan is two, Koy Masarazov is three, Mivchar Birosov is four, Merom Kitso is 5, Yar Carmelo is 6. 6 expressions of what Sancheriv said he would do. Pasik Chof Hey, Anig Karti Vishosi. So this is a continuation, a different interpretation. I want to continue in this approach, in one approach. Who is the word Ani? So Ani Karisi, it appears to be the words of Sancheriv. He is continuing his arrogance. We're quoting the words of Sancheriv, and he's saying as follows: Ani karti vishosisi, I dug my own wells, vishosisi moyim, and I would drink my own water. Why is Sancheriv making this statement? What does this mean over here? So it's a mashal. Let's look at the Mesudas Tov, Pasuk Chaf Hey. Ani karisi v'shosisi, rotzolayma, mi'oylem hitzlachti b'ma'asai. I am a successful person. Everything I've done in my life, I've always achieved success. Why do you, Chizkiyahu, and the Jewish people, think that it will be any different when I come to attack, to conquer Yerushalayim? And this expression of digging a well is a marshal of success. Because when you dig wells, many times you have to know where to dig. There's a lot of chokhmah in knowing where, deep underground, the streams of water are flowing, so you don't waste your time in digging, exerting an enormous amount of effort and energy to dig deep down below, and then discover that you missed the spring by a couple of feet. You have to have enormous chokhmah to detect where is a source of water, so that when you dig, you will be successful in finding water. Many people try and are unsuccessful. Sancheriv says, I'm always successful. Wherever I dig, I find water. And that's a marshal for my success in all worldly matters.
You could say over here it has different meaning because if we tunnel...
Exactly, that's what I'm coming to. Right, exactly. That's exactly what I'm coming to. That's where Rav Schwab, how he elaborates on this idea. That's why, but let's feel the simple meaning of the pasuk. It's just a marshal. It's a marshal in the world when you want to describe if you're a lucky person. You go, you buy a ticket, you win the lottery, I have good mazel. So in ancient times, they didn't have a New York lottery, they didn't have whatever these lotteries are. The way you would say that you're a lucky person is that you, whenever you dig, you choose a place in the land to dig, you'll always find, you'll hit water. That's how the Mitzudas David explains, a person digs a well, umatzliach limso hamikar, he finds the source, v'shose meimav, and he drinks the water. That's what he says. And then he goes on to say, let's conclude the pasuk, v'achriv, and therefore, I now, because Sancheriv is describing this great success, I will overcome your success. If you think that you are also successful, that you also dig wells, and also have streams of water, don't worry, I'll put an end to your success. V'achriv, I will destroy b'chav pa'amai, with the sole of my feet, kol yo'ri motzar, all of the streams of the city that is besieged. I plan on returning and laying a siege to your city, and all of the water supply, which represents your success, will be dried up, will be destroyed. Now, this means, this is the way Rashi explains, is that when an army comes, armies need food. They need water, they need food, they need supplies. It's the most important thing. And when the more soldiers you have, the more water. And just, if there are streams, sometimes just there are... When they move from one location to another location, just by stepping in the streams, it can destroy, can dry up the water flow if there are so many soldiers. And that's what he's saying here, is that just our movements, our march on the city will cause the waterways which flow into the city to dry up. Okay, that is the Pshuto Shel Mikra. However, Rav Schwab says, as Dr. Friedman alluded to, is that we know that one of Chizkiyahu's plans, learned from Yaakov Avinu, you have to plan for war, you have to be mispalo, and you have to send a gift, and you have to also do your hishtatlus. He divided the camps, the other camp will be for an escape. You have to do your hishtalus and plan for war. And Chizkiyahu, who we know, planned for war. He developed an extremely complex system of tunnels to protect the water supply of Yerushalayim and to deny the water to people that were outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. He built two sets of walls, he built tunnels. I don't know the details. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, there are tours that specialize in showing you the complex tunnel system of Chizkiyahu. There are videos that you can find online. Fascinating. Even today, they marvel at the incredible chachma of what Chizkiyahu was able to do, how he developed a system of water tunnels, and the enemy would not be able to partake from this water, and this was his this was well known, and therefore Sancheriv is telling Chizkiyahu, don't be impressed. I'm not impressed. Don't be proud of your accomplishment. When I come with my military might, my 185,000 soldiers, and all of my powerful my power support system, we will wipe out your water supply. Not only that, we don't need your water supply. We'll dig our own wells. We'll find water, and we'll have water to drink. And your water supply, we will destroy. So that's what he's saying over here. Ani karti v'shasisi moim. I don't need your water. You think that you're such a chacham. You built two sets of walls and tunnels to deny me the water. I don't need your water. I'll dig my own wells. And as far as your water, you know what? I'll put an end to your water. I'll dig deep enough to cut off your water supply. V'achriv b'kaf pamai. I will destroy with the sole of my steps, with my soldiers, call the Ari Matza, all of the channels, the tunnels of the siege, of the system of tunnels that have been created underneath the walls of Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, that you have spent this last period of time developing and preparing for this war. Pasuk Chavav, Haloi Shamat, now Hashem takes, now Hashem speaks. Hashem responds. And so until now, we have pretty much been quoting the words of Sancheriv. This is what you have said. What you have said is an insult. It's a cheref. It's a disgusting thing what you have done. It shows your arrogance, your foolishness. Hashem now responds. Haloi shamato l'merachok. Have you not heard from a distance? A distance here means a distance in time. That's a fascinating thing, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between past, present, and future. It's all the same. Only by human beings, perhaps one of the most gashmiest things in this world is time. It's very hard for us to relate, to understand this. We live in a world linear. There's past, present, future. There's no way to go back to the past. There's no way to predict the future. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all in one. It's impossible for us to relate to this concept that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, time is all one. It's all one. I'll just tell you, I once had a discussion with a very, very brilliant mathematician. A person that's very familiar with the works of Einstein. And I asked him a question. I said, there's something called Gilgul Neshamas. Now, where I come from, you know, I'll even say the word Gilgul Neshamas. You know, Gilgul Neshamas means a person dies and then he's reincarnated, recycled, reincarnated in another body at another period of time. To be misaki in any pigima, if he did not perfect in this world, in his first lifetime, so he has to come back to this world and be misaki. Okay, you know, by Litvisha Olam, This concept, you don't even talk about this. This is like almost borders, almost an apikorsis to talk about these things. By the Hasidish world, this is something which is very it's discussed in the open, and there are many svarim of all different tzaddikim who are gilgulim nitzah. It's okay, whatever this is. Okay, so let's talk it very in a very abstract, theoretical terms. So, if you read through these Hasidic svarim, Gilgal always goes forward. Like a person was a Gilgal, let's say a person lived, let's say in the 10th century, and there's something in his neshama that needs tikkun. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him, will says, no, you need a tikkun, you have to rectify a certain sin, so I'm going to bring you back into this world. I'll put you back in this world in the 11th century, in the 12th century, in the 13th century. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wait, hold off until he comes to the 20th century, because the 20th century, there he'll have an opportunity. An opportunity will present itself for a certain type of person to be misakin where he needs to be misakin. In the Hasidic literature, Gilgulim are always going forward. I don't think I'd ever heard of a Gilgul person dies. He comes back 20 years later, 10 years later, right away, immediately. The second that he dies, he's already, the next moment, he's already back in this world. Okay, again, I'm talking very abstract. I don't want to get into trouble because the literature world, these things, you're not talking about these things. These things are total nonsense. What? I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm just trying to bring out the point that in where I grew up, this is like what is this? This is fantasy land to talk about such things. We don't know. I asked him, is there such a thing as a Gilgal going backwards? He asked such a question. It's a fascinating question. Person living in the 21st century. He has a smartphone. He has email. He has a nice car. He has climate control, home. He has every gadget possible. And no, it's not as going to be spoiled. He's obsessed with whatever he lives. The lifestyle of the 21st century. He lives it to the fullest. And then he goes to Shemayim, and Hashem says, you didn't live out your life to its full potential. There's something that you're missing. You got to send you back. But in the 21st century, the opportunity will not present itself for you to be misakin. But I take you back to the 8th century. On the 8th century, if you were one of the people living there, that would be perfect. That's exactly what your neshama needs. So, is it shaykh to be a Gilgal backwards? Back in time. Science fiction. Now, to us, it's absurd to say such a thing because this world, it's past, present, future. You're only going to... But by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hoya Hove V'yeh. But that will then mean that if he'll go back into the past, he could change the future. Enoch Nami, who says, and like the science fiction movies, who says that's so terrible? By Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's all the same. Hoya Hove V'yeh. Is it shy of such a thing? So the way we joke about it is the person says, Ribbono Shel, how are you going to put me back in a generation with no email? No cell phone? I'm going to have to go on a horse and buggy? No. We have to go to Gehenna. Then give up my cell phone.
Or the Shama knows
that? What?
The Shama is aware of all these...
Is the Shama aware...
of all these materialistic...
I don't know the answer. That's what I said. We're getting involved in it. So I just want to bring out this point. So this person was a very brilliant person, and he was fascinated with this. He's no longer living. This person, and I saw that he was fascinated with this whole idea, and he discussed with me many times, going to Einstein, that there is such a thing even in the physical world where time repeats itself. He was explaining. I didn't understand it, but he's knowledgeable of all these things. And he really took a liking to this idea, but like I said, in the Hasidic literature, you don't find such a thing. You always find these ideas of Gilgulim going forward. The reason why I bring this out is because over here you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, this is meant to be. But the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to this moment in time is by saying, Limei Rachok, at a distance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us on our terms. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, time is all the same. But Hashem says it has been preordained that there would be a galus of the Aseres Hashavim. This that you, Sancheirev, you're so proud of yourself that you've conquered the Aseres Hashvatim. You've conquered the surrounding area of Yerushalayim, the suburbs, all of the power, all the cities in the vicinity of Yerushalayim. You think it's because of Koichi V'Oitzim Yadi Osli Yachayel Hazeh. Some chayre, this is nonsense. It's been preordained before you were born. Before you were born already, in the Smala Hasa, the Jewish people of a race have sinned to a point where they had to be exiled, there had to be some din v'cheshbon, they had to be, and therefore you just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and you were the ones that would be the instrument of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring about the galus. But it's not because you're anything special, it's not because you have any special talent. Yeah.
Not even your idea.
It was. Hashem planted in his mind the ruach, like we learned before. I'll send him a ruach. I'll put a wind. I'll put an idea in his mind what to do. But I just find so fascinating is the way Hashem describes this. There are many ways you can express this idea that it's been preordained, but Hashem speaks in terms of physical terms. Not just physical, the most physical terms. Terms that are extremely distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With the word Limei Rachok. Haloi Shamat, have you not heard Limei Rachok from a distance? Oso Asisi, I have done this. Asisi means from a distance, it's been a done deal by me. From long ago, I think it was exactly the calculation of Shabbat, 73 years ago, from the Nevuah of Amos. Amos predicted that the Aseres HaShvatim would fall, be exiled, and this event would happen with Sanhedrin and Yerushalayim. Mimei Kedem, from days of yore, Vitzartia, I have created such the ability that's the need that such a thing will come to be, that the Jews will be sent into Galus. And it's only now, ato now, have a seal. I have brought my plans to fruition. I have caused it to happen through you. Usihile hashos kalim. I have caused it to be, lahashos means to be destroyed. Galim nitzim, into mounds of flowers. A nade is a flower, but in this context it means just vegetation, desolation. Go out into the wild. What do you see in the wild? You just see weeds and grass, vegetation that grows in the wild. Or rim bitzuros, what used to be fortified cities. So we have to do the passing backwards. Or rim bitzulos, what used to be fortified cities. So the fortified cities that we're referring to here refer to the cities of that surrounded Yerushalayim, Jewish cities, the cities of the Aseres Hashvatim. We're dealing over here, normally when we have this concept of destruction of fortified cities, normally in the Yishai, it's always discussed in reference to our enemies, to Amon, Moab, Bavel, Paras, Madai, so on and so forth. Here we are referring to the Orim Mitzuros of Yerushalayim. The Orim Mitzuros of Yerushalayim have now will turn into Galim Nitzim, will turn into mounds of flowers and weeds and grass. And it will be Sehila Hashos, it will be destroyed. And the Orim Mitzuros will be Sehila Hashos into Galim Nitzim. And Ato Havisia, I'm going to cause this to happen now. But you should be aware that this decision, that this thing should come to be, was already decided 73 years ago, before you were even born. And have you not heard about this? Didn't you hear of the prophecies of Amos? Have you not heard of the earlier prophecies of Yeshaya? Of course you heard about this. This is a big deal in ancient times when a Navi, even when one of the Jewish prophets would speak. This was on the front page of the New York Times. This wasn't just Haredim, they're just some interesting creature which is in the entertainment section of the newspapers. This was serious business. The world took note when the prophet, the world, the nations of the world, it's very clear from Chazal that the Jewish prophets were revered more so by the nations of the world, by the Goyim, than they were by the Jews, because they said things, they predicted, they predicted things that would happen, and everyone knew what they said was to be dealt with, was to be taken seriously. Hey, let's see Pasuk Chavav in the Mitzudos, because there are a lot of interesting ideas being brought on this Pasuk. Limei Rachok. Mizman Rachok. From a distant time. Hashem is speaking on our terms. Osa. What's Osa? Es Hagzera Hazos. Asisi Miyamim Kadmonim. I've already decreed this Gezera from long ago. Vitzartia. Ani Yotzarti Es Hadover Hazeh. And the Kavala Dov B'mash Amar, this is just a poetic repetition of the beginning of the Pasuk of L'merechok Osoa Sisi, is parallels the word Mimei Kedem V'tsar Tia. So I guess Mimei Kedem is a reveals what the word Merechok. These two expressions parallel one another. Mimei Kedem V'tsar Tia parallels L'merechok, from a distance. What distance? From time, Osoa Sisi, I have already decided, I have decreed that this should come about. Ata, next words in the Mitzvot David, Ata Hevesia, Ani Hevesi Ata Esadavar Al Yodecha. I have brought this plan to fruition through you, Sancheirif. Usihi, Ata, you are going to be my instrument. Ata Tihye Lemakas Mardus, you will be the instrument to bring about this fatal blow. Lahachrev Orim Mitzuros, to destroy fortified cities, Lasosam, to make them Shemamad, desolate, the Galim and mounds, Mats Michim Nitzim Uprachim, which will produce nothing more than flowers and weeds. Okay, Pasik Chav Zayin.
Rashi has we make Eren.
Oh, so very good. Mishesh Mebreishis also Alibi Oisa Gzerish Nigzra Alecha. No, so he's referring to something. He's referring to something else. Rashi is referring to we go further in the pasuk. Ki aruch me Rashi ki aruch me esmal tifta. That refers to Gehenim. That it's been arranged from esmal means the day before yesterday. The day before yesterday means before the world was created. The world was created. The day before Gehenim was created on the second day. So okay, I forgot the drasha, but the point is that okay, let's read the entire Rashi. Ki aruch me esmal tifte gam hi lemelech uchan. It's been prepared for the melech. Ato now kishe hig vorasecha alo akum. Have yisul loisa gzer kdei shetei lahashas lgal nitzim onim mitzuros shetaruk es yoyishreim v'tiyah shiu me adam v'yis adu should be prepared, designated legalim tzemchem yerek. So in the same idea as what the Mitzvah says, but he says that Mishesh es Yimei Bereishis. Not like the Mitzvah that says that it was, so Mitzvah doesn't say that, he just says that it was Mizman Rachok. I quoted to you either a Medrash or another one of the Rishon, which I don't remember where I saw, that says that Yimei Rachok refers to the Nevuah of Amos. Amos explicitly predicted the goals of the Aseres HaShvatim, and that's one interpretation of L'Mei Rechok. The Mitzvah just is very vague. Strak, L'Mei Rechok refers to Azman Rechok. And Rashi says it refers to from before creation. That Hashem already from before creation saw that this is going to happen, it's going to be a Churban, and the Churban he refers to is, I mean, he used the passage that where we use reference to Gehenim. But I guess that's all part of Gehenim, is that the land should be Charaf. Okay, let me just see how much more time of the Perek. We're not going to make it. Okay, so now we'll stop over here at the end of Pasuk Chavav. Okay, so up to Chav Zayin.